Hey there, and welcome back to the McNaughton McKay podcast. Today is episode 26, and I am joined by Gino Porter. He is a territory sales manager with Flute Corporation. Gino, how's it going?
Great. How are you, Austin?
Man, I'm doing good. Today, Gino is going to help us address the real cost of compressed air. So I know compressed air is all over the place. It's used in a variety of different industrial applications. Could you walk us through why it's so important to locate and fix these leaks as soon as you can?
Great question, Austin. You can't fix what you can't find, right? You can't fix a leak if you don't know where the leak is located. So having the capability to locate the leak gives you the advantage to be able to fix it. So why would you want to be able to fix these leaks? It's costing you dollars, right? The Department of Energy estimates that about an eighth of an inch leak of compressed air can cost you up to about $2,500 a year. I'll repeat that. That's an eighth of an inch. That's not that big of all. Many manufacturers have these compressed air lines. They might have hundreds, if not thousands of feet of compressed air lines. Those eighth of an inch compressed air leaks are costing $2,500 a year. Can add up rather quickly.
Certainly. 10 leaks, that's already $25,000 in just a single year from nothing other than just a little bit of compressed air. So obviously this is an issue. It's costing people money. How do we fix it? Is there an easy way for them to locate these air leaks?
There's different divisions and techniques for finding these leaks. Probably the original way of finding these compressed air leaks, which is still being done today, is by using the ear, right? The customer will shut down their plants, shut down the operation, increase their downtime, pressurize their compressed air lines, and they'll walk around with their ears carefully listening for air leaks. That's an option. But for customers where that isn't an option, where they're interested in reducing their downtime and not turning machines off, some customers started using what's called a UE system, which you've probably seen before, whether it's been on movies or if you're working in industry where you have these guys wearing these bulky headphones, walking around with this type of black wand, this magic wand, and they're sweeping around listening for air leaks. This technique, this technology does require some skill, does require some training. It's almost kind of like playing a video game. You need some training and you're not going to be an expert at it in 10 minutes. And that's why Flute came out with the II-900, where you don't need the goggles. You don't need to shut down the plant. You're literally just pointing the device, you're sweeping around, and you'll get this visual display on your screen indicating, hey, there's an air leak here.
So obviously, one of the reasons why we'd be doing this is for cost savings. So can you give us an idea of, I know you said $2,500 a year for a leak. That's kind of an average. Do you have maybe a specific customer situation you've worked through that can give us a little bit better idea of a standard application?
When our customers looked at their annual power bill for a year, which in their case was $190,000. Once they had their baseline of $190,000 before fixing their air leaks, they located and fixed these air leaks. After they located and fixed the air leaks, they monitored their power bill for another year and noticed that their annual power bill went down $48,000. That's about 25%. Energy savings. So that's the power of finding and fixing air leaks.
Okay, so we've gone through, we've already fixed, say, our air leaks, or we're in the process of it. Is there anything else while we are actively doing this procedure, any other kind of leaks or gases or anything like that that we could detect with this device?
Yeah, so great question. Compressed air, even though it's super expensive, there are some other gases that are just extremely expensive not only to make or produce or purchase. And those gas might be argon, which I like to call liquid gold, or natural gas, or there may be some gases that are a safety concern. You may not want some of these folks breathing these in, like nitrogen, right? And so having the capability to listen for compressed gas, whether that's air, nitrogen, argon, whatever the case may be, the Fluke industrial imager can pick these up.
Okay, so we've gone around and we've started to detect that we have some leaks. Say we're just kind of not in real good shape and we have a lot of leaks, so we're going to have to prioritize maybe one over the other. Is there an easy way for us to do this?
Yeah, there is. So embedded inside of the Fluke II900 device. There's a mode called leak queue. When we enter into that mode, machine tells you when you're pointing at a leak, how far that leak is from you. And then it also tells you severity of that leak. Luke came up with this scale. Basically goes from 0 to 10. 0 being, hey, this leak's not severe at all. It's going to be on the lower priority scale. And then 10 being, hey, this leak is very severe. It should be on your highest priority scale. And then you got everything in between there. So, yes, they do have that's the leak queue scale allows you to identify the severity of each leak that you capture.
Okay, so we've gone around. We've captured all this data. Do we need to bring a clipboard with us and write everything down, or is there an easier way to allocate all this information?
So each image that you take with the II900, it's going to save onto your machine locally. It's going to save it as a file. You can go out and take 1, 5, 10, 15, 100, as many as that you need. And after you're done doing your scan, doing your survey, you can bring these images from your device onto your computer. And from there, you can create a report through free software. And that'll allow you to record and track and trend your capture, your survey.
Okay, so now we've collected all this data. We've allocated it all together. So we have an idea of, you know, what's our most severe issues. But all these are compressed air. It's kind of an energy savings thing. I know at one point you had mentioned to me that you could also detect something you called partial discharge, and you mentioned that it was a safety concern. Could you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So what's kind of partial discharge? The first time I was exposed to it when I was working as a power engineer. Have you ever walked by a high voltage transmission line or a substation, kind of heard that staticky noise coming from the lines?
Yeah, it almost sounds like a bee.
Sorry. Yeah, it almost sounds like a bee. That's exactly right. Well, that's partial discharge, what you're hearing. And there's different type of categories of partial discharge. Why is it important to be able to pick this up? Well, there's some cases where partial discharge is okay. It's not severe. It's not a safety factor. But there are some cases where partial discharge is detrimental to the equipment. Partial discharge is a good indication of when electrical power equipment, such as power cables or your connections, like on transformers or your high voltage equipment, are just starting to deteriorate. So being able to pick up partial discharge is key. For example, a few months ago, I went out to a steel customer, and they had a 34.5 kV power cable. That's 34,500 volts. Using the II910, we're able to scan that power cable and pick up partial discharge coming through that cable. That was a big sign for us to say, hey, this cable is starting to deteriorate in its insulation. And the last thing you want high voltage cable, high voltage equipment, is for your insulation to not be reliable.
Very interesting. So whether you're trying to locate compressed air leaks to save a little bit of money or determine if your equipment needs to be serviced for safety concerns or just for reliability, it sounds like the II900 and II910 is something you need to check out. So that's about all the time we have for today. Gino, thanks so much for your time. And if folks are interested in discussing this further, how can they reach us?
Thanks for having me, Austin. For customers looking for more information, please reach out to your local Mac and Mac account manager or reach out to them via podcast@macandmac.com.